Yo, what is going on? We are back with another episode of the Who Got Next podcast. Appreciate you all tuning in to me, man. Try to bring you all some good, dope content for the show, and I think I got another good one for this episode. We got the homie in here, Charlotte's own VVG, Verbal Van Gogh. What's going on, man?
What's good with you, man? Appreciate you for having me, man.
Hey, man. Anytime. Before we get started. I did say it right, Verbal Van Gogh, right? Do you go by Verbal Van Gogh, VVG? Yeah. Like, what's your nickname and things like that?
Just VVG, you know, rap guy.
Rap guy? You know, yeah. Okay, all right, man. So just want to get a couple things. I'll be straight up with you. I heard about you from one of my boys, one of my freshman compadres, Dexter Dynamite. DJ Dexter Dynamite. He told me a while back, he said, yo, I know you into the music. I know you be paying attention. He said, check out this artist. He said, you heard of him? I said, nah. I said, I haven't. He said, check him out. So I was able to go through YouTube first, kind of go through some things before I had hit you up. And I must say, a lot of the few that I did hear, I can say that you are very polished in your music.
I appreciate it.
Sometimes when you hear local artists trying to get out there, you're not sure exactly where they been, how long they been doing it, and things of that nature. But I was able to listen to some things, and I'm always a stickler for how the music sounds, where you coming from, and just basically the sequencing of music. And I can honestly say, kind of jumping a little bit ahead, but Just Another Day was tough, man.
Appreciate it. That joint did some numbers, man. So, yeah, appreciate it.
No doubt, man. So, tell me a little bit about yourself, man. I guess you hail from the east side of Charlotte.
Yeah, east side Hickory Grove, man. You know, so one of the few people from here. A lot of people new moving in. So, you know, just try to hold the culture down. But, you know, I'm a mix of sounds, though. I would, you know, straight out the east. But I wouldn't necessarily say I sound like a typical Charlotte artist.
With that being said, what is Charlotte sound? I've been to Charlotte. I'm not a native, but I've been to Charlotte since 2007. Of course, family here, so I've always been back and forth, but been immersed in Charlotte since 2007. So I've seen things fluctuate. I've seen things shift. Of course, I've seen Charlotte grow. Like, it was growing before, but it's growing even more now. So
it started going crazy.
I would honestly say that. So when you made a mention of talking about, you know, a mix of your sound is pretty much a mix. Mm-hmm. Does Charlotte necessarily have a sound? And I'm gonna get into that a little bit later, but does Charlotte really have a?
We do, and we don't. I think that's a good thing though. Like, you can get any type of sound here, mm-hmm. but like I would say, like, majority of the artists kind of sound is like, you know, like kind of same, similar to the Atlanta sound. But the ones I think really carry the flag for the city all got unique sounds, though.
I agree. So who are some of the artists that you kind of rock with here outside yourself?
I don't want to miss none. Elevator J.
That's my guy right there.
Lada, De Niro Farrar, mm-hmm. DaBaby. Plenty. I don't want to miss none. Perrier. Timbo.
All them cats are nice, man. I think when I first got here, Elevated J was probably the first person that I kind of connected with on the music level. I said, man, this guy's pretty tough. But all that to say, Charlotte got some real dope artists. You started out as Young Fresh.
Yeah, Young Fresh.
But you changed your name. So what made you decide to change your name?
But to add some though, 3 Southside Ghosts, Notch Hood, Young Bizzle. It's a lot of people, man. Like I said, I ain't even want to name none because I could go on.
Charlotte has a lot of dope artists.
Yeah, I could. But anyway, Young Fresh though, it just was getting ahead of that Google search curve, which mm-hmm. some artists run into.
Right.
You know, I mean, so much stuff come up when you type that in. But that was just my first, you know, just name. Like, my big cousin, R.P. Rozzy, he gave me that nickname because of the movie Fresh. I was the young 11, 12-year-old cat hanging with, you know, grown men, 20-year-old, 21, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, battling cats like 18, you know what I'm saying? So that was really it. That's where the name came from. So I just ran with that. That was just my rap name, you know what I'm saying, Young Fresh.
So when did you start seeing your growth as an artist? Mm-hmm. It started coming into your own.
When I changed my name to VVG.
Word.
Yeah.
So the name does make a difference. I know, like, with 2 Chainz, he was Titty Boy at first.
Yeah.
But as soon as he switched his name,
he got more serious. I mean, it's just that, I don't know, just, you know, just growing up as a man, things that mattered to me then don't matter to me now. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I kind of can relate to some of the things that the new artist that's getting in the game, you mm-hmm. know, is on. But at this time, you know, it's just a different artistry and, you know, more vision.
Do you think in Charlotte is going to be, you think it's all about the music? And the reason why I say this is because I'm kind of looking through your stuff and looking through your website and things like that. You don't just do music. You actually, you got merch.
Yeah.
And you have things and such. And I think a lot of times with artists, when they're trying to get themselves out there, I think sometimes they jump the gun.
Mm-hmm.
It should be more about the music first, and then everything else should fall into place. But with you, I guess you sell merch with Bar Still Matter.
Yeah, we got the and
things of that. So how does all that blend with your brand?
It's just a brand. I got a clothing line, Anti-Hype. So for, I would say, the last year or so, Anti-Hype really just became the VVG merch. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of ran it like that because I started noticing people like more so shirts that they can wear as a movement rather than a fashion statement. You know what I'm saying? Like how the Trapper Die shirts were and all that stuff like that. Like the Snowman shirts. Like it was a whack shirt. It's just, I'm with the Snowman. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of figured that, you know, people like to be a part of that fashion-wise, a part of a movement more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from like the Stand With Kaepernick shirts. Like somebody got paid off that. Like
somebody had to get paid, right.
You feel me? I'm seeing Nipsey shirts, all this. Somebody got paid off of it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people want to stand with the movement. So just another day, the movement, like, you know, shifted to another gear. So, you know, it was a good time to switch that over. But like I said, I do all of that.
And how did the title for Just Another Day come about when you're thinking about, is it you thinking about Charlotte?
Nah,
just another day in Charlotte?
No, I did one already. This is Just Another Day too. Oh. So the first one I did.
See, I got to go back now.
Yeah, it's on, I give you the link. It's on the old Bandcamp.
Okay.
But, yeah, I did Just Another Day, the first one, and it was a mixtape I made in 24 hours. Yeah, so.
Was that a challenge that you did to yourself, or you were just in that group?
I mean, I had did First 48 already. You got to look up on that, too, Young Fresh, First 48. Well, I was doing them in 48 hours, like the TV show, you know. Mr. Murder, everything was born then. You know, if you don't catch me in 48 hours, I'm on to the next murder. But we did it like that. So then my homies was like, bet you can't do 24. So we did Just Another Day. I actually got locked up that day, got out, bonded out the next morning, and dropped that shit.
Wow. That's pretty dope, man. One thing that stuck out to me, the 76ers freestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
It is tough.
That's tough.
you had a small bar now where you talk about 3 shitty deals, my APB at least declined.
Yeah.
So were you signed before?
Nah. I'm signed to myself. I'm signed to Currency Cartel. But I've had label offers before, yeah.
What do you think is, I had to pause for a second on that because I want to see how I was going to frame this question. I think nowadays in 2019, I think more artists are starting to understand the power in ownership. With that being said, I know the major deals be a little bit sketchy at times, you know, with the 360 deals and things like that. But at the same time, I don't think a lot of up-and-coming artists or aspiring artists don't read the paperwork. So with you doing your own label, doing your own thing, do you see yourself in the future maybe signing to a label, or is it you still
want to? I would sign with a partnership, you know, to get the machine, like the baby situation. Like he was doing his thing. He was talented. He had a buzz. But when you get that machine, it's bye-bye Ken Griffey status. You feel me? Like, bye-bye. I'm gone. Everything, everywhere. Because now he ain't gotta beat down the door. They open the door.
Right.
Know? And that's the leverage that he had on the major deal. You know, so it's always good, you know, to do the thing. You know, same thing with Luke. You know, he just was on the Dreamville stage yesterday. Like,
did you go?
Nah, I watched it on Tidal.
Yeah, I watched it too.
That's the major thing. Like, that's the major thing. It's like, that gives you that assistance in displaying your talent. You know, but like I said, these days it's tough. You got to put in a lot of groundwork. If you ain't viral, they ain't trying to hear talent. They don't care about that. If you ain't viral, you know, they'll tell you it's hot, but how we gonna sell it? You know, get it to the people, I sell it.
All right, with that being said, so I went to Fayetteville State University. So I have a lot of friends and things around from the Fayetteville area. So one of the biggest conversations is about giving back and having artists reach back out to your community. So I want to speak on J. Cole for a second, because I want to see what you think about this. Do you feel as an artist, being in Charlotte, do you feel the obligation to give back to other artists? You know, if you get to a certain point in your career, do you feel the obligation to give back to another artist that's trying to bubble or trying to do something?
It's gonna happen naturally with me, because I feel like I work with, you know, 6 or 7 other top 10. Like, they my dog. So it's going to naturally, you know, be that way. So, of course, you gotta help put your city on. But the main thing is that people got to understand it's not owed to them. You can get where you go and do your thing. You can get back to the community before you get back to the artist.
Right.
You know, but
but speaking on from an artist standpoint, because like I said, it wasn't even about him giving back, because he always give back, which I know that for a fact. But as far as the artists go, I mean, I think, number one, I think Charlotte got talent, but I think North Carolina has talent as a whole.
Yeah.
Period. I don't care where you go. And I'm just going to name those cities like Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh. And I'm going to also say Fayetteville, you know. But, you know, of course, you have that. To me, you have that envy talk. That's what I like to call it. That envy talk where, nah, bro, he made it, but he's not reaching back out to it. I don't necessarily believe that. I think sometimes it is about timing. It's about timing, but it's also about your grind.
The main thing is that in a region, a section where nobody really made it, shout out P.D. Pablo, but you know what I'm saying?
And that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
a while
ago.
That's when I was in high school. I'm showing my age.
Like I said, shout out P.D. Pablo, but I mean, come on, man. Like, and Cole, yeah, he from NC. Yeah, he put on big time from NC, but it's like, it's a little bit different when you got somebody like coming out of an actual city, like really grinding it up their whole music career in that city, you know. And all the artists that got signed from here, they didn't get signed because they was a North Carolina artist. They got signed because they was talented. You know
Thank
what
you.
I'm saying? So
talent trumps everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're from. Now, of course, yes, would you love to rock with, if you get to a certain point, do you want to rock with it? Of course.
Yeah.
But sometimes it always doesn't work that way. And I think my opinion is, if it doesn't work that way, I don't think it should be to the point of that person just don't care.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just about the talent when you're talking about, you know, reaching back for artists at that point. Because that happened in the 2000s when every big label was just putting they homies on. And it didn't really work that good. You're going to get some stars out of it, but you really got to, you know, just reach for the talent. If your mans ain't really like that, let him be the manager. Let him be the A&R. Let him find you some new producers or something.
Right. And I think with you, I think you harped on your people you work with. You did work with one guy, Southside Ghost.
Yep. That's my dog.
I got nice. So he nice. And that my first time hearing him was that project that you all did.
Yeah.
Which I talked about the 76 freestyle. So how did y'all link up? Is he from? He's from Charlotte, right?
Yeah, he's from the South Side. So we just been homies, you know what I'm saying? Outside of music, so you know it was natural. That's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of things. It's just like Atlanta. They be like, oh well, how do Lil Baby and all these people already? They just get signed to the label. It naturally happened. They knew each other. You know what I'm saying? Like basically everything on QC happened naturally. So it's the same thing as here. It's like it's gonna be people that, you know, be able to get a look, you know, based off just a natural connection. So, and that's how that came about. And we did two songs, and the vibe was right. So we just was like, you know what? Let's put a joint together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not really many collabs and Charlotte tapes that I can speak of. Only one I know that was done on kind of a semi-major level as our joint was 3 and J-Way shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it don't really be a lot of collabs. People do a lot of songs together, but they don't really do, like, collab whole projects.
Project.
Yeah, they do it with producers, but not, like, you mm-hmm. know.
I want to kind of go back to the Just Another Day 2 project.
Mm-hmm.
One thing when I'm listening to music, I listen. My first thing is always step two is the beat. That's just me. I'm always gonna go to the beat first, and I'm gonna listen. I'm a big sample nerd.
Yeah, samples is crazy on there.
Ah, but one, you were the first person I ever heard sample it. Rude Boys.
Oh yeah.
Written all over your face. Man, how did that whole idea come about with the all over your face?
My boy Stax made that beat a long time ago. I'm gonna be honest with you. The real reason. Yeah, we got paused on this. The real reason this is called Just Another Day 2. Because me and Black Pearl went and did a 24-hour session and recorded a project. But that's not really, I ain't no cap. Like, I ain't even gonna lie, Alec. It was the 24 hours. Some of them joints was after, you know what I'm saying? But most of the project was that day.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole plan. But me, anybody know that worked with me, if I sit on a project, if I sit on some music 2-3 months, I'm gonna end up adding something, taking something off.
Right.
You know, so.
That's pretty tough, man. That joint.
That's why it's really called Just Another Day, too.
Okay, okay. And the other joint, 1973.
Oh, yeah.
The horns and the bass line on that. That's probably like the second to the last song.
Very last song. It's a bonus song.
Okay. So when I'm listening to it, I'm like, I don't like to give my stamp on things. I had to listen to it about 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. I went crazy on that one.
Yeah, you know some people they'll listen to it one time and be like, oh, it's this and that.
Yeah.
I listened to it about 4 or 5 times. And like I said, but if I keep going back to a song, I said, man,
that's what that's what rap is missing. I purposefully do stuff like my homies that know me all day, every day.
You ain't clickbait. You're not a clickbait rapper.
My homies that know me still every day, they know how I talk. And they still would be like, yo, 4 or 5 months later, like, yo, I ain't even know you said, I just really caught this. Because that's how my favorite artists are.
It's tough, man. Like I said, with the horns, the bass line. And after I listened to it one time, I said, okay, let me run this back.
Yeah.
So I ran it back again. And then I ran it back again. When I ran it back a fourth or fifth time, and then I give it the car. I like to give all my joints the car test.
Yeah.
Once I give it the car test, I said, okay.
Car test is the only test.
I don't understand why people don't understand that. The people say, yo,
the car test is the test.
That is the test, man. Shout out to Elliot Wilson, man. He took my idea, but it's all good, man.
Yeah.
I had his idea about going in the car and just sitting there and just listening to albums and things like that.
Oh,
so,
okay. I ain't see that yet. I just be seeing The Crown.
Yeah, he does that on Tidal.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
He does it with artists. You know, when they finish the album, then he'll kind of, you know, he'll go in there, he'll rock it out.
Yeah.
And of course, I was sitting there like, this motherfucker took my idea.
Yeah, they changed it. They changed the home screen. They pushing the playlist now, so you don't even really see all of the video stuff no more.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to get right.
That is true. So talk about some of your musical influences. I know you had talked about Big L is an influence of yours, Jay, Biggie, of course, but a lot of people don't really mention Big L, even though Big L is probably one of the nicest. So what do you see from these artists in your music?
I just really, when I started listening to music, I was really into lyrical music. I didn't really listen to, like, start listening to, like, Gucci, stuff like that, till I got a system in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the basis was already there. I started rapping when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old. So that's a big gap. I was already me by then. So I kind of, like, take elements of what you would consider Southern music. I like getting on Southern beats and still giving you bars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whatever. A lot of influences, even AZ. He's a big sleeper.
He is a big sleeper.
Yeah, so it's just people that I think is technicians with their words. Like, that's the thing with Big L. Even when Fabulous first came out, he was doing it like his multis, everything rhyme. Mm-hmm. Eminem, you know, of course. But when you can go a whole project and don't miss a couplet, like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
That is true, man. So producers, when you do an album, how do you go? What's your mindset when you go into an album? Do you kind of think about the ideas first?
Yeah, but I had to chill on that a little bit, Cause I done scrap songs.
You overthink it a lot.
Yeah, I done. Like I said, that's what happened with Just Another Day too.
Right.
You feel me? Like it was done. We did it that day, and I did a what did I do? I did some freestyles in too. I think that was another MME project. So I had did like 2-1, and then we came back, rode back home, and went to Play It Made that night when Elevator had dropped. Ain't Nothing Finer. So it was crazy. It was a perfect Just Another Day story. But you know, with me, I was like, nah. You know, I got like 2-3 months for it drop. Nah, let me. I squeezed in Figure Four though, and what else? Right Now, and those are two of some of the hardest. Everything else was pretty much done. 73 was last two.
Okay,
so that's three out of the what 10 I think or the 8. Yeah.
Okay, so all the producers that you work with, they are in they in house.
Nah, not really. To be real with you, I work with a lot of different producers. I got like probably like 5. That's consistent. Only one that would be in-house is Stacks A Million. He did the All Over Your Face.
Okay.
You know, pretty much with that one, it's like I got him, Tone Jones, Dope Boys Music, Lexi Banks, Rick and Thaddeus. I got a couple people I work with consistently, but if you send me some heat, like, I'm going to get on it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get your paperwork right. We're going to get your info so we can do the splits, right, everything. So it's going to be legit.
What producer now in the game, outside of the ones that you work with, like major producers, would you like to rock out with on your album? If you
could. Major producers? Shit, I did 2 projects with Natural Disaster. He did Turn My Swag On. He got fucking Grammys and shit. But major producers, though, I like Buddha Bless, Honorable C, Dr. Dre, of course. Pharrell would give me a hit.
You were with Dr. Dre. You might not get, might take a while. You know how you
Nah, run. I would if Dr. J if I said Dr. J if Dr. Dre called me, like, you know,
you shutting everything down.
Detox
for that.
Detox is gonna be done. It's gonna be detox 2, 3, all that done.
Right.
There ain't gonna be no holding up because, you know, sometimes some people need that fresh push. Like, soon as he got a couple new writers, like Mez and, you know, a couple other cats, he dropped that Compton one.
He did. He moved that pretty fast. He did move that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was still working on Detox at the time. And you know how.
Yeah, because Mez, and then he had Kendrick kind of writing some stuff. Kendrick had like 4 songs on there, right?
Right.
So he had, and then
Kendrick, Mez, and
Anderson
Pop.
Somebody else. Yeah, Anderson is, and then somebody else I want to say too. I'm missing somebody, but you know, he put that out fast. So a lot of times what I do in music, man, some of these older cats would just be refreshed. Like, because right now it's about microwave, get it out. I don't care about this. It's quantity over quality. Sometimes it kill you working on the quality. You know, sometimes people, they, if you don't drop every week, every month, they
especially
forget about you,
especially now in 2019.
That's good though too though sometimes.
It is, because it's good when, I think it's a necessary evil at times. I think if you I think if you're a dope artist and you're putting out quality music, they want more. Right. But if you trash, you know, if you
gotta get your shots up. If you bricking,
you gotta get your shots up. So that's why I say it's a necessary evil, because people think that you have one joint out the bank and it cranks, you feel you made it.
Yeah.
And I think you kinda lose that hunger. But my thing is, I'm always believing in, man, you need them L's. Because you gotta look at yourself and be like,
nah, it don't even really be like that. It just be the fact of, like, you really putting together a plan so that when I come through, like, I come through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to notice, like, damn, like, man, my man's put it together. He thought about this. He actually had a campaign. And but, like I said, at the same time, it's a gift and a curse, because once you do that, they comparing it, like, to somebody that's getting their shots up. They like, oh, he working harder. Like,
right.
Nah, not really. Like, you know, we just cooking it right.
And it, Charlotte. I love Charlotte. But let me ask you a question. What do you think is going to take for Charlotte to get to that point where it's like, bruh, you got to go to Charlotte and hear what they got cooking up over there?
Baby Just was number one. It's there.
As far as, like, talent shows or showcases and things like that.
Nah, it's never going to be that. We ain't got no venues.
You don't think so?
It's just internet. They're going to just start looking at who shit popping from Charlotte, asking word of mouth. Same way we get these interviews, same way I get shows. It don't even really be like, oh, so-and-so was looking. It's like, yo, my mans is fire. Check him out. Or, yo, this event is hot. Check it out. Like, that's more so what it is in Charlotte, because we don't really got enough venues to where it's going to be crazy like that. We used to, but they gone
now. We did.
Now,
Tremont was one of them.
They gone right down the street, yeah. So they gone now. That was one of the biggest ones for me. Mm-hmm. Tremont used to let me rock out. So
I went there a couple times. Last time I went there, Big Crit was there.
Yeah.
And that's when Big Crit just came out with
Yeah, I think my boy Lotta did that show.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I'm not trying to jump the gun. Does he shoot your videos too?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, I saw the name. I saw the name on.
He just shot the latest one I did, Kaepernick.
He got.
And he on the track too.
And he on the track. I like that song. I like that song too. I like the play on.
Yeah.
I had to catch it at first. I said Kaepernick. I said, okay, hold on. Okay, then I started listening to it. So how did that idea come about?
I had made that song, like I guess before I had the Kaepernick title or whatever. Actually, I put it up on my story when I was in the studio. I had just did it. And that was like probably like one of my most like commented on story. Like, so then I ended up putting it on my page that night and everybody was like, yo, y'all just been running this clip back, like back and forth. I'm like, damn, this shit crazy. But that was the little caption I put on there. So that just became the name of the track. So, but it really wasn't no concept. It's just a lot of dudes be talking at Yang, man, and they ain't really about it. And that's cool. But, you know, I feel like when it gets to the point where you start really getting clout from it, like where it's really kind of low-key working, it's like, man, okay, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then once it started working, kids would do anything to do it. It's just like, you know, I got a two-year-old. If he fall out for a cookie or a toy or something, mm-hmm. and I get it to him, he going to keep doing it. He just going to get wilder and wilder every time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And it's the same way with the rappers. It's like, oh, I need to get this in my hair. I need to get 19 tats on my face. I need to just act like this, or I need to do something crazy. Then they just going to do it. And it worked. Like, I can't blame them. It worked. But as me, as a man, like, I'm a grown man. You feel me? Like, I got a family, everything like that. So I got my own businesses. So I'm not really in a position to compromise myself for the fame. You know what I'm saying? I want it to actually change the face of hip-hop because there's people playing with it right now. They dilute and rap so hard that anybody going to be able to do it. Then it ain't going to be ours no more.
Say nothing but a word right there.
Yeah. For real. Like, if you felt like...
They're gentrifying that. They're trying to gentrify the hip-hop game.
It's already there. If you was watching an NBA game and the dudes was all sorry, you going to try to be... You like, yo, let me get in shape and just go start try out for the NBA. Like,
making it that easy at times.
Right. If I'm looking at some dude that I feel like I could beat on TV that's making millions of dollars, that's how it is with these songs. They so easy. It's like, oh, dang, they made $1 million off that? Man, I'm about to start rapping. Especially with somebody with already a social following,
mm-hmm.
IG chicks, strippers, or just a comedian type person on mm-hmm. Instagram. Like, it's easy.
And with that, you kind of talking about that, like, you are, I would say you are correct on that, because you see some artists or just some people who have their social media following have thousands and thousands of followers. But like I said, when it comes to something tangible that they're putting together and you realize, bro, only like 20 people showed up.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That's a whole nother story.
And I never understood that, because it's like you have this big social media following. Yeah. But
I got probably like 7,000 and I can put. Butts in seats more than some of these niggas. I would say more than a lot of these niggas. You feel
mm-hmm.
me? Like, anytime I have an event, you know what I'm saying? It get lit.
Where are some of the places you go at around here?
Locally, like I said, most of the spots I used to do locally is phasing out. But we got Snug rocking. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Snug rocking soon. So I'm doing that soon, and I used to do New Era a lot, New Era Music House a lot. They just moved. They got the New Era Music Fest coming up. Rocking that, you know what I'm saying? Like, anything, any stage you put me on, rocking that. But like I said, here are the ones I used to rock with: Neighborhood Theater, Tremont, Amos, South End, even the Fillmore. They used to have a lot more opening spots for the Fillmore. Now the artists just come with they little opener and they perform and you leave.
That is true. And the thing about the Fillmore, again, the Fillmore over there, they're getting more of they're starting to bring in a lot more artists now, you know, like from a major label standpoint.
Because they not big enough. It's the tweener spot. If you ain't big enough for the arena, that's where you go.
That is true. And even, not even just the film. Well, it is the Fillmore, but the underground.
The underground is the medium.
The medium part.
But yeah, I rock out the underground too. Holla at me, underground. Like, for real, I rock that out. Anywhere we really could do shows, man. I think I think Charlotte at one point, like when they had the bodega and mm-hmm. all that stuff going on, man, it was like it was getting crazy as far as like the Charlotte type of venues can get. Not like 20 dudes that just made their first song last week, but I mean like reputable, the top 10, top 20 artists, you know, on the stage mm-hmm. at one time. So I need to get back to that. I need to do my part in helping it get back to that.
For sure. For sure. And hey, you said you had a child and you have a family. Two kids, okay. You married?
Yeah, I'm married.
How has family life changed how you do your music now? Has it changed any bit, or does it just it make you a little bit more aware?
It's motivation and the things that you say, because my daughter, she's 7 now, so she like my song. She get on my YouTube all the time, like on her own. Mm-hmm. You know? So you just make yourself aware of what you conveying. You know, that's all it is. And, you know, I got her taste right. She don't like fake rappers. That's what she call them. So I got her taste right. So that's pretty much, I mean, that's the main thing. And it's just really motivation, you know. You just want to make everybody proud. You want to make everybody proud, and you don't want to say nothing too crazy. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You're an artist at the end of the day. It's never like, I don't know. It's never like. All my artistry comes straight from me. So if it's how I feel, what I feel, you know, that's what it's going to be.
For sure, man. I enjoy the conversation, man. But what I'd like to do is ask you one question. I like to ask this question to all the people that I interview. And it's pretty much the premise of my show.
Yeah.
What's next?
We got MME dropping, 420. The album dropping early summer. Lot of videos coming, a lot of content mm-hmm. coming. Anytime I chill for a little bit, everybody know I got something coming. And anyone, and especially when I drop an MME, that's a Mr. Murder everything. So that's the mixtape I normally do, you know, take a couple beats and beat them over the head real quick, let my fans know what time it is with the bar still. And then we come with the project. So we got that coming. We got a lot of videos coming, a lot more collabs coming, a lot mm-hmm. more merch coming. So it's everything, man. Like I said, I'm just about to chill on making so much output and focus on creating more content. Cause the music really, like you said, these days, the music ain't number one,
mm-hmm.
but we got it. You feel me?
Yeah. So the MME is kind of like one, like your friend, like your franchise.
Yeah. It started with First 48. I did 4 of those. And then we did Just Another Day. That was like the end of mm-hmm. The First 48 series. And then I started Mr. Murder Everything. So this would be 6, you know. My DJ was like, yo, DJ Moeezy said we was going to stop at 5. He was like, nah, MJ was the greatest at 6, so you got to do 6. So he sent me a couple beats. I found a couple more and, you know, couple studio sessions. We done.
And salute to the to you rapping over championships. I heard that.
That's what it started.
I heard that on my way here. Yeah. So I was like, it kind of flipped to it. I said, okay.
Yeah, I sent it. I sent that to Moeezy when I dropped the video. And he was like, yo. Like, he hit me like immediately, like, yo.
We got
to do 6. Like, yeah. I feel you. So that's all it was, man. So that's really it.
Man, VVG, Verbal Van Gogh. Yes, man, sir. I do appreciate you sitting down with the Who Got Next podcast, man. I'm definitely going to be checking more of your stuff out. I think what I've seen so far, I'm impressed.
I'm impressed, man.
I love to see artists that are on their grind doing it the right way. I think the way you're doing it is the right way. I pay attention to this. I mean, I'm not no expert, but I know what I like.
Yeah, the thing is a lot of people scared to do it because the right way, the hard way. But mm-hmm. you know,
your grind is impeccable, man. Your music is dope. You know how to jack a beat.
Yeah.
You got jack a beat. Yeah, pause. You know how to do that, but you also know how to
make my own shit.
You gotta make your own shit, man. Yeah. So let everybody know where they can find you at, man. Let them know where they can
find
the music.
You can find me on any social media, same at VVG704. Like Verbal Van Gogh, VVG704. That's all social media platforms. You can get all the music on all digital platforms by searching VVG.
Yes, sir.
Or coming directly to my site, vvg.us. So it's all good, man. You can hit me on all, like I said, all social platforms. I'm there. That's how I interact with people the most. So hit me up.
Bet, man. Again, I appreciate you. And you are listening to another episode of the Who Got Next podcast. I am your host, E-Dub. And if you want to check me out, my Instagram is whogotnext_COT. And if you have any questions or any comments, hell, is there somebody out there you want me to check out? But as I always say, I will find them.
Right, right.
I will find them. But my email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. So make sure y'all check out for that. Check out for that information. And again, man, make sure you check out VVG, aka yes, Verbal sir. Van Gogh. His music is dope. I'm telling you it's dope, and I'm telling you this brother here got next. All right? One. Yeah. Peace.